Wow. That was pretty awesome right there. Thank you, church, for being here. It's great to see you. It's great to be with you. I am very excited about the opportunity we have had to gather this morning in worship to our Heavenly Father. If you were able to be in Bible class, I trust you had a wonderful class. I feel like we had a great class and certainly love that time together. And then, of course, we had a fellowship period, and now we're worshiping our Lord. And it's come to the point in our services now that we're going to challenge ourselves. We're going to examine ourselves, and we're going to test ourselves to make sure our minds are renewed and where they need to be. Before we get into our lesson today, a couple of announcements. First of all, just in case you are unaware, last Sunday morning we had another soul added to the kingdom. And that was my buddy Caleb. And so Caleb, just, I know people saw you last week, but let's stand you up again right here. Our newest brother in Christ. Caleb, we're proud of you. Our teenagers are phenomenal. I love them. Mamas, daddies, grandmas, grandpas, all the whole nine yards, youth minister and wife and everybody else that's molding their lives. Thank you very much. Caleb's a valuable part of our youth here. The second announcement, I want to reemphasize what Justin mentioned. Scott and Justin and myself, we've been talking about this, kicking it around for quite a while now. And tomorrow night it's going to happen. And listen, some of you have already told me, hey, I'm going to be out of town. I'm not going to be able to be there this time. What we're going to talk about tomorrow night, men, is, first of all, we're going to do our best to video that. And somehow we'll be able to show it to you. And, you know, we're not going to just blast it out for the whole world to see. But we're going to try to get that to you. But we're going to talk about some things of how, if Mondays are a good day. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. We're just meeting tomorrow initially, getting together, 6:30, our men's ministry. We're kicking it off. We'll be right up here in the fellowship hall. If you are a man, you are invited. Sorry, ladies, I love you. I really do, and I appreciate you. But we're going to go men's only tomorrow night. And so we're going to work on growing ourselves to be what God desires us to be, or make sure we're on the right track even. And but if you sit there and think like I do, and listen, I know I preach a long time, and I get it, but we're not just going to preach tomorrow night, okay? I just want you to know. So don't think it's just going to be another time Terry preaches to me. That's not going to be the case. But we're going to talk, we're going to have fun, and hopefully get to know one another even better. So I ask that you pray about that and participate in that starting tomorrow night. Today I want to continue with our theme. Our theme is renew, and today I want to talk about our minds. Minds, a very powerful, powerful thing, right? It is certainly something that can really trigger a lot of different things. There's a lot of talk about people's minds today, what goes on, what makes a person want to do certain things. You know, there's studies that goes on about these mass killings and all the crazy stuff that happens in the world. What would make a person do that? And they're trying to figure it out, what's going on and all that. Here's it in a nutshell, though. If my mind does not belong to Jesus Christ, then I've got problems. If my mind does not belong to our Lord, to God, then I am in danger of allowing the devil in. And so today I want to talk with you about minds. I want to talk about renewing our minds. That is a biblical thought. That is a biblical text. And we'll get to that text in a little bit. But as we're getting there, I want you to think about how important the mind is. In Ephesians chapter 6, you remember the Apostle Paul talking about the whole armor of God. He's telling us what to put on, right? Well, he says to put on the helmet of salvation. You know what should be the most important thing on your mind today is how I'm getting to heaven, how I'm getting my family to heaven, how I'm getting anybody else I can to heaven. But starting with self, I've got to make sure I am on the right track. And so that's what today is about, making sure we're on the right track. I like what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 5. He said, examine yourself. That's what we're doing, right? We're examining ourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Now, I'll talk more about that in a minute. Let me just read. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out, and this is a great verse, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. Today, it is my goal to get us all passing the test. Listen, I can't make you pass the test, and you can't make me pass the test. But we have all the answers. I don't like tests. I don't like them. And Justin and I, we're finishing our master's up, and we have to take tests. Not all classes. I wish all classes didn't give tests. I wish that was a requirement in master's work. But sometimes the tests, like last semester I had a class, we had a class that hey, you could start the test, and it didn't have any time on it, and man, I was able to do fine on those. But this semester we've got somebody that says, hey, you got a test, and you got 1 hour to do it. You know, that stresses me. I'm already stressed a little bit about that. Because I feel like, hey, man, you know, I've got to look for all this. I've got to get all this material, and I'm going to run out of time, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like tests. But we've got to test ourselves. Today, this may not be comfortable at all times. But you need to ask yourself, where am I in my mind? Where am I? Is Jesus Christ in me? Am I passing the test? I want you to turn in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to read together verses 1 through 17. Israel didn't always pass the test, did they? The Hebrews, the Israelites, they struggled. They were people that God got upset with. I happen to think that God probably gets upset with us from time to time. I happen to believe and understand that God is a jealous God and He wants your all. He wants you and He wants me. He wants everything we've got, and it starts in our mind. But listen to what Isaiah said. Again, Isaiah's prophesying in a time when Israel's really struggling, and he's going to call them to get right. And so here's how it goes. Verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up. That's disgusting. Or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant. We should have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is your multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. plead for the widow. I want you just to hear a quick summary. These are some words and phrases that I pulled out of there. Rebellion, ignorance, lack of consideration, sin, iniquity, evil doing, corruption, forsaking God, estrangement from God, backsliding, revolt, transgression, disobedience, sickness, and unsoundness. Now, does that sound like people that had it going on? No. That is God through the prophet Isaiah saying, I have had enough. I've had enough. Verse 6 gives the image of someone beaten within an inch of their life. And in the text, they are referred to as an ox and donkey being smarter than them. This is how upset he is. Verse 8, he says, the daughters of Zion will be left empty, captured. They're going, right? They have no choice in this now. Where were the children of Israel? The ones that God loved. The ones that God rescued. The ones that God delivered. They were lost. They were empty. They were incomplete and near spiritual death. So today I want to ask you this. Where are you? Where are you? Where are we today? Where are we right now? Do we feel abandoned? Do we feel alone? Do we feel beaten and left for dead? Are we suffering due to the sins that are in our lives? Well, I want you to look back at verse 5. This is the whole key to it. He says, why should you be stricken again? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Let's talk about that phrase, the whole head. I want to ask you today, how's your whole head? Okay? What happens when our heads get cloudy? There's a lot of upper respiratory stuff going around right now, right? You got a little scratchy throat, got junk in your head, you can't hear, you can't focus, you don't feel good, you've got a headache. You're miserable. Your whole body, your big toe's miserable when your head's miserable, right? Everything's miserable. It's just frustrating, right? Well, it's the same way spiritually. Today, if your head is clouded with junk, if your head is clouded with filth, if our heads are clouded with sin and all these bad things that God described, then my whole body's in danger. My whole body hurts. You see, our heads, our minds, our attitudes, they all matter. So you know what I want to challenge us to do today? I want to challenge us to have the mind of Jesus Christ. That same mind that Paul talked about in our scripture reading this morning from Harrison. Harrison read to us Philippians chapter 2. You remember that? He said, let this mind. Now that's mind, that's attitude, that's way of life. That's who we are. It defines who we are. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, do not miss how beautiful this is. Being in the form of God, that means while He was here on earth, He was God. While He's in heaven, He's God. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal. They were one and the same, on the same plane. But then it says He made Himself of no reputation. Let me say it this way. The only man alive, the only man that's ever lived that could have built a throne, a throne room, and we could have come and bowed down and worshiped Him, and it would have been okay. You know why? Because He was God. He was God. But He didn't come that way. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am, was born in a food trough. And He grew up poor. And He struggled, and He reached out to the poor, and those who had been shunned, and those who had been removed from popularity. That's who Jesus reached out to. He made Himself of no reputation. He came in the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of men. And what did He do? He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's the mindset that God wants you and me to have today. That's the attitude we must live by each and every day. But you might question yourself, well, how do I get there? Well, I'm going to try to lay it out for us. There are three simple points we're going to talk about today. Just three little things that we need to understand about our minds. The first one is this. We need clean minds. They need to be clean. Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? You knew I was going there eventually. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies. Now, hang on just a second. We're talking about minds. But remember that upper respiratory, right? When your mind is clouded and your head is clouded and you're hurting up here, man, the whole body hurts. And that's the whole idea. He said, I don't want you to just present your minds today. I want everything. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world. But here it is. Be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. The renewing of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformed. We need transformed minds. Okay? Now, the Greek there for the word transform is metamorpho. Metamorpho. That means metamorphosis. It's the same idea as a caterpillar. God's amazing, right? A caterpillar spinning that cocoon around themselves, going in that cocoon, and a metamorphosis happening, a change happening, and a metamorpho happening, okay? They are changing. They are transforming. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think caterpillars are cute. I think they're kind of creepy, honestly. Some of you may think, oh, that's a cute little thing, but I think it's kind of ugly. Now, we could agree to disagree on that. That's okay. But when it comes out, I don't think there's anybody to argue how beautiful that butterfly is. You see, and if you have that mindset that today my mind came in ugly, my mind came in dirty, my mind came in clouded and filthy, well, what does it need to do? It needs to be renewed. It needs to be cleaned. And so today, that opportunity is before you and before me. Well, how? How can we do it, Terry? Well, Colossians 3, verse 2 tells us. If then you have been raised with Christ. Okay, that's me and that's Caleb and that's the rest of y'all, right? We went down in the water. We came up out of the water. Raised to do what? Walk in newness of life. That means new minds, new mouths, new attitudes. We're walking in newness of life. He said, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are on the earth. No? That's not what he said. He said, seek the things that are above. Like I told you last week or the week before, can't remember. You and me have to be different. We have to be. We have to be different. You know why? We're the called out. We're the ecclesia. What God did is He put us in this world. Now, when He created this world, everything in it was good. Adam and Eve, their marriage, paradise, it was all good. Satan slithered his way right into their lives. It hasn't been good since. This world is imperfect, not because of God, but because of sin. And so because of that sin, He made a way. He made a way that we could be whole again, that we could be complete again, that we could be perfect in Jesus Christ again. And that way today is through His blood. But here's what happens when I make that decision. I've got to be above the things of the world. I've got to be above sin. I've got to get myself out of the world. So, here's how you need to go back and let's read it again. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Now, where's Christ? He's in heaven. So I've got to seek heavenly things. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, that verse doesn't end there, but I want to talk about that just a moment. Boy, we got a lot of things that go through our minds. I'm telling you right now, if I don't write it down, Michelle and I have a linked calendar through our phones, and she'll say, hey, can you do such and such? I say, can you enter it in the calendar? And put a reminder in there, maybe two. And if she does, and sometimes she'll still text me. Why? Because there's a lot of things going on in my mind. There's a lot of, and I'm afraid I'm going to forget something. That is a, that's just something I don't like doing. I don't like to disappoint. I don't like to break trust. I don't like, you know, and sometimes my simple mind gets so full and I forget, okay? Or I forget to do something, or I fail at something and all that. Here's the thing about it. We have so many things going on in our minds, we cannot forget the most important. And that is to give our minds to Jesus Christ. We got to give our minds to Him. Our minds have to be above. So, what does that mean? That means we can't get stuck below. Here's what happens if we do. How do we get out of it if we are? Verses 5 through 10, Colossians. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. It's that ugly caterpillar. It's that ugly mind. You know the saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? The more garbage I'm around, the more I start to stink like garbage. Okay? If I just constantly put in junk, and listen, some of y'all can't help it. You go to work every day and there's junk all around you. So that's, we got to work even overtime, right? To make sure that we clear that junk out. But if I put junk in my mind at work, I put junk in my mind at school, I put junk in my mind on social media, on my phones, on my device, on my TV, on my music, on everything else. Hey, man, I got to be careful. I got to be careful with my mind. You see, when our minds are transformed, when we're in that cocoon, that burial, okay, something amazing can happen. When I'm in that water, buried, something amazing can happen. And that is conversion. That is change. That is metamorpho. That is metamorphosis. It's becoming the beautiful creation of God. So what do I do now? Now that I've gotten rid of the sin, now that I've gotten rid of the filth, now that I've gotten rid of all the junk, or I've got it back in my life, what do I need to do? Well, he said what? Set your mind on things above. How do I do that? Philippians 4 verse 8. What did Paul say in Philippians 4 verse 8? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, on and on. What did he say? Meditate on these things. You know where he said that from? He said that from the same place. He went to bed and he went to the bathroom and he lived and it was prison. Okay? It was not roses. It was not paradise. It was not fun. It was misery. But he wrote a letter, I'm confident because he lived it, saying, hey, you want to know how to get off of the junk and get the junk out of your mind? Meditate on good. So all of us who meditate on the negative, who meditate on the evil, who meditate on the bad, we need to get that garbage out. We need to get clean. We need to clear our minds, okay? And we can only do that through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 4, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the minds the God of this age has blinded. Do you know that? Satan has blinded our minds if we allow him to. If we want clean minds, we got to get off the veil. We got to take off this disguise we're wearing, and we got to put to death the sins in our lives and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Secondly, this morning, yeah, we need clean minds, but we need confident minds. We need confident minds, okay? I believe there are certainly people, probably even in here today, who may struggle with unclean minds, okay? I believe that. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't believe it. But I also believe that there are people who struggle with unsure minds, okay? Follow me on this now. I think we get be clean, okay? Clean is, okay, I need to get rid of all this junk in my life. I get that. That's why we come, you know, hey, Terry said, you say that a lot. I get it, okay? But here's another one. Is an unsure mind. a mind that's not confident. There are a lot of people that are attending church services this morning, whether here or other places, that they are unsure in their minds about their own salvation. You might think that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it happens. If I were to poll this crowd today, I mean, chances are we could find some in here and say, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. You know, maybe. Well, let me say, if you're on that level, maybe, or any of those levels, today I want you to leave here with no doubts. Okay? Why would you get in your vehicle and pull out on this crazy highway road not knowing where your salvation is? Why would we do that? It is playing Russian roulette with our soul. I used to tell my kids at Mobile Christian when I was teaching there, because they would talk about, hey, heaven and things like that, and it'd come up in Bible class. And I would be like, look, I may pull out the Cottage Hill Road. That's where Mobile Christian is. I may pull out on Cottage Hill Road. I'd say right here, Moffett Road today. And another vehicle come in my lane, or I get distracted, go in there. Something happens, and that could be it for me today. I could get into an automobile accident, and that'd be my last breath. I could just, something else happen, and I can drive. And I would tell them, that would be sad and tragic for you. Okay? And you may cry, because believe it or not, they did love me a little bit. You may cry. You may be upset. But I would tell them, and just like I tell you, church, don't cry for me. Do not cry for me. You can cry for my wife and my children and my other family, but don't cry for me, because I know where I'm going. I know. I know that today, if, as Steve sang a little bit ago, if he rolls those clouds back like a scroll and the trump sounds and he descends, and, hey, even so, it is well with my soul. My question is it with yours? Terry, how can you know? How can you be so confident? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He said, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know Him. Don't miss that. By this, we think. We have a good hunch. We've got a probable cause. No. We know. We know Him. If we keep His commandments. Now He only gave two. There's a lot in those two. But He only gave two. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. If I keep His commandments, which is to love God with my mind, my heart, my soul, everything I've got, and love my neighbor as myself, reach out to him, look out for him, teach him about Jesus, tell him my story. If I'm doing that, then I know. It's either true or it's not, right? I mean, it's either way. It's either a myth or it's a fact. I'm going with what I know, and that's a fact. That if today we are living in Jesus Christ, we're okay. Now, if you don't have a clean mind, if you don't have a confident mind, guess what the enemy's going to do? He's going to get in there and he's going to make havoc of it. Satan loves idle minds. That's too much time. Satan loves busy minds. That's too much time for Jesus Christ. We got to find the happy medium. We got to find what God wants, and that is our minds. That is our time. That is our all. Listen to this. Psalm 27, verse 3. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Do you have that confidence today? Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Philippians 4:13. I said this on the podcast. It doesn't say I can't. It says I can. I can do what? All things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Today I want you to leave here knowing you are saved. In your mind, in your heart, in your all. If you do that, you will have a confident mind. You will have a faith that is so strong that we can look at Satan and say, hey, no matter what you got, bring it on. I'm not afraid of you. I will not fear. But then thirdly, and it all goes hand in hand, finally today, if I have a clean mind, I have a confident mind, chances are, but if not, this has to happen too, I'm going to have a clear mind. You see, what happens when you have a clear mind? Well, there's nothing there to bog it down. There is nothing there to keep it from focusing on being like Christ. You know who got sidetracked from time to time? That's Peter. Peter messed up. We've talked about Peter. He had a mind that sometimes it wasn't always clear. But when it was all said and done, Peter got it exactly right. He was able to pass that test that Paul talked about. And he wrote an epistle, a couple of them, right? He wrote a couple letters. And the first one, 1 Peter, he gave us a great formula. Listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he said, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. You want to have a clear mind, number one, focus fully on the crown. Focus fully on heaven. There's a lot of things that we focus on, right? There's a lot of things that happens in life that we struggle with, that we focus on. But what I want you to focus on today is heaven. I want you to focus on that crown that we're going to wear. Peter said that through the Holy Spirit. He wants you to focus on Jesus Christ and salvation. Number two, 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Second thing we need to focus on, if I want a clear mind, is focus on communicating with God. Communication is critical. Positive communication is critical to a healthy relationship. Okay? Positive communication is critical to healthy relationships. If you decide to go home today and never talk to God again, then your relationship with God is going to crumble. Just like it would if I went home today and never talked to my wife again. Or my children again. Our relationship will crumble. Well, I need healthy communication with God. So I need to focus fully on heaven. I need to focus fully on my prayer life. And then finally, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The last thing, and it all sums it up, I need to focus my all, my mind, on conquering the enemy. You see, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The enemy wants nothing more than for you and for me to be dirty-minded, to be unsure-minded, or to be cloudy-minded, to have cloudy minds. He wants today for you and I to not get it. He wants for us to struggle, for us to be unsure. But you know, with somebody who said a long time ago that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I agree with that. I think they're probably talking about through school. But I'm talking about through Jesus. We cannot waste what God has given us. I like this quote. You are what you are. And where you are because of what has gone into your mind. And you can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. In other words, your thinking directly affects your performance. And what you put into your mind affects your thinking. Today, as we close out, I want to ask you, what goes on in your minds? Are they where they need to be? You see, nobody can read your mind on this earth, but God can read it. He knows. He knows. Today, do you need to give your mind renewal? Do you need to submit your life to the one who can change it all? Or maybe you're here today and you are unsure of where you're going. Why would, again, I can't say that any plainer. Why would you not make it right? Why would you not? You want to be clear-minded. You want to be confident-minded. You want to be Christ-minded. No more stinking thinking, right? No more garbage. Let's change it. Let's do it right now together. We stand inside.